Thank you. We're going to do things a little bit differently tonight. We're going to have the message first. And then while we get ready to sing our Christmas carols for tonight, we'll allow everybody to have an opportunity to light your candle. And then we will have Christmas caroling by candlelight here in the church. And once again, just welcome everybody here. And so tonight, I want to briefly talk about what happened before the manger. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, a very familiar passage. But you know, whenever we get ready to do something major, there's always that preparation time. If you got ready for a trip, there was, in our house at least, a mess of things and activity that was happening the night before. And everybody trying to get everything, and then you still forget something. Or you're getting ready to do a test. Or you're getting ready to have a visitor. And you make all these preparations the night before that's never, ever seen. And hopefully if you do all your preparation, everything will go well. But most of the times we miss something, don't we? So tonight, I want to look at what God has used ordinary people. And we've been talking over the last couple of Sundays about God using ordinary people in extraordinary circumstances. Now, they weren't people that lived in the palace. They weren't people that were the high priest of the country. They were just ordinary people that found favor with God. And I hope every one of us tonight will find favor with God. And if you haven't found favor with God, I got great news. God sent His Son, Jesus, to lie in a manger, to live a perfect life, to sacrifice Himself on the cross for our sins. In our passage tonight, it says that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up out of from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he is of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, there's a lot of things that get in the way of our plans. And if we had something to do and then all of a sudden that plans change, it kind of frustrates us. I want us to look tonight from the perspective of Joseph and Mary. Here they've been chosen by God to do this extraordinary thing. Mary, specifically, to give birth to the Christ child. And there's been angels, and we've talked about that. There's been prophecies said, and we've talked about that. And there's been scripture talked about that. But that was 9 months ago. And now the months go by. And things happen. And if Joseph and Mary were just like us, they may have been frustrated. I'm sure they did not know all the details. There's a lot of things that go in our life that we don't know all the details, and that's where faith comes in. But I do know this. God is always in control. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, it says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after" what? "The counsel of His own will." In Romans 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to the purpose." Oftentimes we sit there and we think about what's next. How is this going to work? I'm sure there was a lot of questions in Joseph and Mary's mind on these things. They know that she is conceived. They know that Joseph is going to marry her and has married her. They know that all these things are going to come because God has said so. But you know, when you think about this, the Bible is very limited on details on what they really knew. So here we are in the last week, the last month of these of the term of Mary. And now all of a sudden something happens, as we see in our passage, that they have to go up and they have to pick up from where they are and go to another city. And oftentimes with things like that, we say, well, the timing is wrong. And I'm sure if Joseph had his way, he probably would have had it where it was pretty easy. Or if Mary had their way, they'd have it where it was pretty easy. But sometimes things happen to us, and we think that the time is wrong. And it's not necessary. It's never wrong when God is in control. This was not convenient. We know in our passage that Mary is great with child. And now there's this issue of this census. Now there's this issue of registering. And they're going to have to move from one city to another city, almost halfway down the nation of Israel, to do this. And Mary is great with child. And it's not the time to travel. The time is wrong. Everything's wrong in our own minds, but God is in control. Sometimes we have situations happen in our life where you say, this is not conducive to what the plan is. They probably had their own idea of what the plan would be. And now they're going to have to pick up. Joseph probably thought that the birth was going to happen in Nazareth. Unless he knew his scripture. Because that's where he was from. There was really no incentive for them to leave Nazareth. But God is in control. And so now here we have this taxing. And here we have at the end of her term, we have this timing that's all wrong. This is not the time to travel by donkey a great distance. This is not the way that we thought it was going to happen. And it's not conducive to having this great birth of the Messiah. How many times have we gone through and we've had our plans and all of a sudden something happens and we say, that's not the right thing to do at this time. We say the time is wrong. The second thing that we need to understand is that the trip was long. The trip was long. Here's a map of Judea. And Nazareth is up here. And Bethlehem is down here. And if you go and you measure on a map, it's almost 100 miles. I looked it up last night, and you could have driven that in 2 hours by Google Map last night. But they didn't have cars. And here's the issue. When we think the time is wrong, God's still in control. And here now they have to go to Bethlehem because that's where Joseph's lineage is. And we see that God was using his circumstances in order to do that. You know, the shortest distance is between two points is a what? A straight line. But here's the point. There's physical obstacles in the way. This trip is too long to go from here to here, straight line. You see, Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim, Mount Ephraim, Mount Gilboa. It's a mountainous terrain, and they couldn't possibly travel that. And so, most scholars say that Joseph took the easier way, which wound up being the longer way, and he went down the Jordan Valley. Because that was more conducive to travel. You know, sometimes God calls us to do some marvelous thing, and then there's a physical obstacle in our way. There's mountains that have to be moved out of the way. Not only at the time, what, you want us to go now to Bethlehem at this time? Mary is great with child. She is in no condition to travel. And to get there the fastest, we have to go over all the mountain ranges of middle Israel. But there's another thing. There were political obstacles too. This way was through Samaria. We know from the Bible and Christ's dealings that the Samaritans, the Jews, had no dealings with the Samaritans. And so that's the second reason why most scholars say that they went down the Jordan Valley. You know, sometimes God calls us to do something and we say the timing's all wrong. Sometimes we have this task laid out in front of us and we say this takes too long. It's too hard. It's too far to go. And then there's perceived obstacles along the way. There's all the ridicule that's been happening. And we know that that's happened. Okay? We know that there's rumor and all this whispering going on. And you know, over time, that wears on you. And here's Mary and Joseph, two ordinary people doing an extraordinary thing. And now it's time for God's plan to be put into place. And from our perspective, we might think that the time is wrong. We might think that we want God's plan to happen in the place that we're at right now, but in reality, God wants us to move someplace else and the trip is too long itself. So we know the story. We've heard it over and over again. So think of this. Okay, Mary, we're going to have to go. There's this governmental decree, and we got to go to Bethlehem. And the trip is going to take us several days. Some people say it would have taken 4 days, but most people say it took a week and a half to do this by donkey, by travel, approximately 96 miles. You know, when you get on a long trip, you're tired. You probably haven't bathed. There's probably things that have not gone right on the trip. Maybe the donkey blew a tire. Okay? And you haven't been able to find all the things that you wanted to find. And you're tired and you're miserable. And how many have you been like this? And then you're trying to find a place to stay. And you find out that when you get there, you don't get what you want. You want a nice place to stay, a nice bed to sleep in. You're tired. You really didn't want to leave Nazareth. It's taken a couple weeks to get there. And now when you finally get there late at night, there's no room. Everything is no vacancy. Now, if you're like me, that would frustrate you. If you're like me, that would probably upset you. What? God, we're just trying to do what you want us to do. We're right where we need to be, and now this trial is continuing to go on. Why can't we just catch a break? And a lot of us, when we serve God, we say, we just need to catch a break, don't we? We need to see something just to go right. Didn't want to go down here to Bethlehem, have to do that. It's not the right time. It's not conducive to this. We couldn't go the straight way because there's all sorts of issues with that. And now we get here where you want us or where I need to be, and there's no room to stay. There's no room to stay. It's not what he wanted to hear. and it's not where he wanted to be. You know, every one of us who's been blessed with a child wants all that first birth to be perfect, right? You want it to be the best conditions possible. And there's no room. And now you have to stay in the stable. After a 100-mile trip at the wrong time, here you're staying where you didn't want to stay. But you know something? God is always in control. What we need is we need trust that triumphs. The time was wrong, but the manger was waiting. The trip was long, but the manger was waiting. There's all these obstacles in the way that man puts up. And we know that there was spiritual warfare going on because it says so in Revelation. But the manger is waiting. You know, we celebrate the birth of Christ, but think about all the details and all the situations that happened to get there. Don't just look at the end. Look at the trust of Joseph and Mary that they had to do in God in order for God to have control to get them there. And when they get there, it just keeps on happening. But the manger is waiting. See, when you trust God, you will win. You will go to where God wants you to go. You will do what God wants you to do. Joseph and Mary were not religious theologues. They probably didn't know, but they were fulfilling Scripture, one after Scripture after Scripture after Scripture, because they were just trusting. And they were allowing the situations to happen. They were dealing with the situations. And we talked about this last Sunday, about God used his circumstances. God used his spiritual conduct. And God used his commitment. God can use that and put us in where God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do. And you will be the person that God wants you to be. It was all about the manger. The manger changes everything. It gives us redemption. It gives us hope. It said that the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. There's a lot of things going to happen. We'll share them tomorrow. But look at the change one night made. But look at the things that came up to that night before. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, "But when the fullness of time was come," you might think it's the wrong time. God says it's the right time. You may think it's the wrong place. God says it's the right place. You may think that it's the wrong conditions. God says it's the perfect conditions to serve me. You may think it's a time of testing, but God wants it to be a time of trust. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Are you ready? Are you ready at any time? Are you ready at any length of trip? Are you ready at any type of trial to serve Christ? You never know what our presence here tonight is going to do in the future. You never know what our actions, our faithfulness will do for the legacy that we leave behind. So tonight, there's no invitation. there's no invitation. You know what we need to do? The Bible says we're supposed to be lights in darkness. We're so supposed to let our light so shine before men. And this is the time to open the can, to light the candles. This is the time to share the gospel message and song. This is the time to share the light with each other. So we'll take a couple of minutes here, get everybody's candles here lit, and then we'll have our songs.